from the 31st chapter of the prophecy of Jeremiah, beginning with the 31st verse. Behold, the day comes, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with our fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in thy inward parts, and write it in thy hearts. And I will be thy God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. And I will forgive thy iniquity, and I will remember thou hast sinned no more. We have read from the 31st through the 33rd verse of the 31st chapter of the prophecy of Jeremiah. If there are any part of this reading that I have read that would claim my attention more than another, it seems that I would like to talk for a few minutes in connection with a part of the last portion of the 33rd verse. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I have listened attentively to the preaching here this morning. I have been much elated, and I have rejoiced in the fact that I was permitted to be in your midst again and to behold your faces and renew the blessed fellowship that has been so precious to me through the years. And I felt that there were so many able ministers here that perhaps might not have spoken. I just came this morning. Who might not be permitted to speak during this meeting, that I felt but inasmuch as we are presented before this people, we come, we trust, desiring most of all that we might be endued with that wisdom from on high, that we might be able to rightly divide the word of truth and set forth the things in order as is believed among God's people. I do not desire to bring something different or something new to you that is foreign to your experience, if indeed you have an experience of grace. I would, if I could, and God would bless me to that end, I'll be most grateful to comfort ye my people, to speak ye comfortably unto Jerusalem, to cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, and that she has received doubly at the Lord's hand for all of her sins. I feel it's such a great privilege and such a great blessing that this great concourse of people could be gathered here from all over the regions around about, that we might come for one purpose and for one desire in our hearts, that we might worship God in spirit and in truth. And as the prophet spake concerning the coming in of this new day and of this gospel era that was to come, this covenant that God was to make between his people, this covenant of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that it should be put in the inward parts, and how that it would be written in their hearts. Now, we feel that this is so perfectly done, and it has never failed in any sense of the word, aware that God has begun this work in the heart of a poor sinner, but he will complete it under the day of Jesus Christ. There may be periods in our lives, and certainly when we have first been brought into the knowledge of this glorious truth, that we have been made to feel, to inquire, is this the way, is this the Christ? And with much anxiety and much prayerful of thought, these things have come. Notwithstanding the fact, I feel that I can say, even when this deliverance has come, when you feel that you can point back to a place and a time when the Lord had translated you from this kingdom of darkness under the marvelous light of the Son of God, and you had been permitted to rejoice in a blessed hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, you may then have felt that you would never have another doubt. You may then have felt that you will never have another a thing to cause you to feel any doubt about a blessed hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe that your experience has taught you that time and again, or you've been made to feel, to ask, is this the Christ, or shall I seek another? Is this the way? I desire greater knowledge. I desire that I might have a clearer conception of this blessed hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, notwithstanding the fact you would not exchange it for anything in this world. I asked a dear precious sister a few days ago in conversation with her. Our wife and I had visited her in her sickness, and she began to tell me of someone that had such a hope. She said, if I had such an experience as they have, that I feel that I wouldn't have a doubt. I said, dear sister, would you exchange a hope that you have for your sisters? Would you exchange a hope that you have for anybody upon all this earth? And she said, no. She says, I'd rather have my hope than all the hope that I know anything about. So I want to say to you, my beloved, this evening, that your hope may seem small at times. You may feel many times the leanness and the poverty of soul in which you are made to travel in this low ground of trouble and sorrow. This world isn't the place of ease for the church of the living God. This world isn't a place where trials and afflictions will never come. This world is a place where they do come, and they are realized by the church of the living God. In this world you shall have tribulation. Jesus promised and told his people that just as sure as he told them that they would have peace. It was just as certain, I feel, for the church today to be brought in trials and afflictions and trouble in this world as it is for them to have peace. But I want to assure you this one thing, my beloved, that God will never suffer more to be placed upon you than he will give you grace to bear. He will never suffer this blessed Holy Spirit that he's placed in your bosom that's been an anchor to your soul, both sure and steadfast, to be removed forever and finally be taken away. I feel just as sure that as I stand before you today, but I'm confident that he will continue to manifest his love to you and his mercy to you. The scriptures tell us that how he led Israel as a father, as he led them by their hand. And we think of such compassionate love, and we think of such care, we think of such thoughtfulness as an earthly father caring for his own child who would lead them by the hand. How many times have you had that experience? Well, here in this life, you know that if a child would grasp your hand, why, they would have no more strength than that which they possess. But if the parent, if you grasp the child's hand, why, then you can bear the child over many of the rough places of life, because you have sufficient strength to care for them. So, my friends, this evening, if you were left to grasp the hands of the Eternal, if you were the one that had to hold to the hands of God in order to be securely carried over the pitfalls, I want to assure you that you'd fall by the wayside. Oh, but the blessed arm of the Eternal, the blessed arm of the Everlasting Father, is underneath his people, that one who cannot fail, that one who never sleeps or slumbers, but that one who is ever mindful of the cries of his people. There's never been a time when the child of God has been out of reach of the Heavenly Father's notice. There's never been a time, though they walk through the valley of the shadow of death, they can be made to feel that I will fear no evil. And sometimes I say, why? Because he says, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they do comfort me. Oh, beloved, if our Father did not go with us in these places, wouldn't I be weeping and wailing? But if we are made to go there, a feeling that his precious presence is with us there, he's given us grace to bear every thorn. He's given us grace to bear every opposition that comes, and has made us to say, we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. How blessed indeed is this thing. He says, and now I will be a God unto them. Why, some time ago I read this scripture, and you know, I thought how perfect it was. That first thing was put first, that God says, I will be a God unto you. He didn't say, if you will be a people unto me, I'll be a God to you. He didn't place it that way, but he places first thing first, that I will be a God unto you, and you shall be a people unto me. So, my beloved, this evening, I want to assure you that we would not have that allegiance to God. We would not have that faith to trust him. We would not have that power to believe upon him if he did not first manifest himself to us. He loved us. He manifested himself unto us. We love him because he first loved us. Why, that's the reason why. You would still be in the world. You'd still be over yonder in some place of amusement, or some place where that you could find a diversity for your carnal and sinful minds if it were not for the grace and the mercy of God. Why, that's where no doubt you would be. But I want to say that God, who stirred up your pure heart, he found you somewhere along life's highway. And there he caused you to be concerned as a fire that burned in this bush and consumed it not. Why, there is something that caused your attention to be turned. Why, God hasn't failed to make things attractive enough to you. And we might ask ourselves, why were you attracted to the old Baptist church? Why were you attracted to this people? This people that has said so many times that'll soon be all dead and they'll all soon be gone. When I thought of this morning, someone told me that this church was organized possibly 1828. And when I thought of the span of years, I don't know how many ministers that have labored here in this midst. But as I came here today and I beheld the order of this crowd and I saw the attentiveness of them, I saw the steadfastness upon their face. I saw their faces turned towards Zion. I was made to rejoice that God is still alive and that he's still stirring up the pure mind of his people. And therefore he could say to them that I will be their God and they shall be my people. I believe it, God. I believe there's some shells there. I believe they're brought into this sweet relationship with God. I don't believe it's possible for you to turn back into the beggarly elements of this life. I don't believe you even want to do it. I don't believe you want to. I'm going to put it that way. I believe that God works the will in you, both the will and the do of his own good pleasure. And I believe somehow or another he established that will there. Or you are made willing in the day of his power. Why, I don't tell you that God's people are brought into this church relationship against their will. I don't say that. I want to say that they come humbly, a feeling that their unworthiness, they come feeling their dependence, they come feeling and pleading of their unworthiness to the church and their unfaithfulness to the church of God. But notwithstanding that fact, they see the church as a city that's set upon a hill. They see her beautiful, and they see her in her beauty, they see her in her glory, and they long to live with her. They belong to be tied together, but they call them his love. Why, they desire that fellowship. They desire the ordinance of baptism. They want to go down in the liquid grave as the Lord and Master went. They want that. I just believe they do. How many times we've seen those hungry sheep around the fold on the outside, hungering for the word of God, just thirsting and panting how the heart panteth after the water brook. So panteth my soul after thee, O God. When God moves the obstacles out of the way, I believe everything removed. How many times have we seen the saints of God and heard them express themselves how that they would like to go to the church, but they feel that I can't go. But one day something takes place that removes these obstacles. And they are made willing to go home to the church of God and tell them what great thing the Lord hath done for them, whereof they're glad. Oh, my beloved, God is reigning above just like he is upon the earth. And if he sends his showers, it's his blessings too. And so I'm not telling you that he should delay them, because that they're all his blessings. They're all come just alike, and they're all from his bountiful hand. And so if we on this life I never face each other anymore on this side of eternity, I feel that we have a blessed hope that one day we shall be gathered into one innumerable host. One day we shall come as the sand of the sea, and that we shall be brought into that sweet and glorious relationship with our Lord and Savior, to see him as he is and to be like him and to be satisfied forever. So if we are separated to never meet no more here, I feel that in that bright and glorious day, that someday, while our ship is going to land in that peaceful port, where peace and joy will be forever, where sickness and sorrow and where death will never come, but where we shall be able to ascribe honor and praise and glory to him forever, is my humble petition for Christ's sake. May God bless you. Come to see us.